Well, it's good to connect with you guys, even if we're not in person, and I pray and hope to see you in person very, very soon. I wanted to share some thoughts with you today from Psalm 138. So do grab a Bible and turn to that, or find it somewhere to follow what I'm going to say today. As you may know, I make a practice of reading a psalm a day as part of my Bible reading. And I've been doing that for a few years now, and I really find it helps me. The Psalms are Jesus' prayer book, Jesus' hymn book, the church's prayer book. Every psalm is a prayer, and so they teach you something about prayer and how to pray. And they're just devotional, and they just feed my soul. And there's so much richness and depth in there, and it's said that it sort of covers the whole of human emotion in the Psalms. In a sense, the Psalms is the Bible in miniature. And I was reading through a few days ago, and in my daily reading, I came to Psalm 138, and I was really blessed and touched by it. And I just, so that's why I wanted to share some thoughts with you on that psalm today. And my title for the psalm is this: Finding Strength in Times of Trouble. Finding strength in times of trouble. And I'm just going to go through it verse by verse, just to show you some ideas I found from that as we read it. So I'll start by reading verse 1. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. So my first point in finding strength in times of trouble is this: praise God in spite of the troubles. Praise God in spite of the troubles. So David resolves here, I believe the psalm is by David, David resolves here to give thanks to God with his whole heart. So it's wholehearted thanks. And then he says this interesting phrase, before the gods. That means before false gods, before the idols, before the demons almost, before the false gods of other nations and other peoples. And there's a sort of tone of defiance in this praise there. And I don't care who's watching. I don't care what other gods there might be. I don't care what idols there might be. I don't care what other people are thinking or saying about me. I'm going to praise God, whoever's there and whatever's there. There's a sort of defiant praise. Whatever is happening, whatever's going on, whatever other people might think, David is going to praise the Lord. And of course, he did do that. There's a story about him praising the Lord and people despising him for it. And he's saying, I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what you think. I'll become even more undignified than this. I'll praise God. It doesn't matter what other people think. I'll still praise God. And so I like this sort of resolution of David to praise God no matter what. And I think that is a key to finding strength in trouble, because praising God reminds you who God is, reminds you how wonderful it is, reminds you that he's still worthy of praise and he still deserves our praise, and his character hasn't changed, neither has his control of history and his control of our lives changed. He's totally forgiving and merciful and loving and kind and generous and awesome and creative and all these many, many things. And so it's worth praising him. Praising God changes your perspective because it reminds you who God is and what God is like. Let's look at verse 2. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. So David is still praising God here, and he's finding reasons to praise God. One of the reasons is God's steadfast love and faithfulness. He's faithful to his promises the whole time. He's completely faithful. He's loving and kind and generous towards everyone. And then this final phrase, you've exalted you above all things, your name and your word. The name of God stands for his reputation. The name of God is his reputation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The reputation of God is he's a safe, strong tower, for example. You know, so he's saying God's reputation or his character is exalted above all things. Well, that's not surprising. But what about the word? That sort of surprises us sometimes. Is the word of God really exalted above all things? Well, that's what David's saying here. And what does that mean? God's promises are so secure and so true that they are exalted above all things. And reminds me of Jesus saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. In other words, this is the most enduring thing in all creation. Every word of it will be proved true. Every last little bit of it will be proved, and God will be proved to be faithful through it in every last bit. Jeremiah said, is not my word like a fire and a hammer that smashes rock into pieces. It's so strong, it's so dependable, it's stronger than rock. You want to build your house on rock, build your house on something even stronger. The Bible is even stronger than that. You've exalted above all things your name and your word. So now let's go to verse 3. I love this verse. On the day that I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So, finding strength in times of trouble. Number one, praise God in spite of the trouble. Number two, pray for divine perspective on the troubles. Pray for divine perspective. What happens here? David recalls a time when he called to God. He cried out to God in prayer. And on that day, God answered him. On the same day, not even the next day, not even a week later, a month later, whatever. On that day that I called, you answered me. On the day that you pray, God can answer you. On that day. And what's the answer? The answer is, my strength of soul, you increased. My strength of soul. You know, when I've got a strong soul, I can face anything, right? You can face anything when your soul is strengthened, right? The circumstances haven't actually changed here. Notice that, right? Nothing's actually changed, right? The situation is still a problem. Okay, outside it's still a problem. My health hasn't changed. My perspective, my life hasn't changed. The problems around me haven't changed. But my strength of soul has changed. That's the divine perspective. Now he sees it through the eyes of faith. Now he remembers that God is totally in this and totally on it and working his purposes through it. His strength of soul has been increased. You know, there's a wonderful verse from David's life in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and verse 6, and I think this may be the day that David is recalling, right? David has been running around, being chased around from pillar to post, and one day they come back to where they had been, and their wives and their children had been taken captive, right? They've been abducted. And David and his followers, understandably, are very upset about this, all right? And it says that in verse 4 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, and then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. That's how sad they were, right? And David's wife's also been taken captive. And then verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Not only has he lost his wife, his wives, and his friends have all lost their children, he also lost his friends. His friends are now turning against him as well. What has he got left in the world? David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. And then it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Notice that again, right? Nothing actually changed. It will change soon. Nothing changed yet. David found strength in God before anything changed, right? His wives were still captive. His friends were still against him. All right, that everything had still gone wrong. Everyone was still very upset, but David found strength in the Lord his God. How did he do that? I reckon it's this verse 3 of Psalm 138. On the day I called, you answered me, and the strength of soul you increased. So he prayed, and he remembered what God is like, and he remembered God's promises, and he found strength in his soul because of that. And there's something, that is something that you and I can do. We can find strength in our soul in spite of the circumstances, in spite of whatever's going on around us. God can still inject that strength of soul into our hearts that enables us to cope, enables us to see it with divine perspective. So he goes on in verse 4. All the kings of earth shall give you thanks, O God, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. This is another aspect of divine perspective here, that David is looking into the future, thinking about the future, and think there will be a day when every king will praise God. There will be a day when every king will praise God. Right now they might be worshipping idols, right now they might be worshipping false gods or denying God or whatever they might be doing, but one day every king will worship God and will do so joyfully and willingly. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, it says. Now we can debate when that might be. In terms of eschatology and end times, I see that as in the millennium. You can think about your own perspective on it. The point is that it will happen one day. In fact, one day, every single tongue in the entire universe will worship God. Every knee and every tongue shall bow down and worship him. And that gives you perspective on who cares about the false gods, right? One day they'll all acknowledge him. One day everybody will acknowledge him. And this is part of David's divine perspective on life and on what is happening that enables him to praise God and worship God in spite of his circumstances. Verse 6, for though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. This is another aspect of God's character, that he looks on the humble and not on the proud. He looks on the humble and he remembers them and he cares for them. That's just another thing that David remembers about God's character that enables him to praise God and see some perspective on his troubles. Then we get to verse 7. And this is my third point, which is to stand firm on God's promises. So first of all, praise God in spite of the troubles. Secondly, pray for divine perspective on the troubles. Thirdly, stand firm on God's promises in the troubles. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. David is not expecting to walk and have a trouble-free life. Neither should you, neither should I. Right? Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. It's part of the job description. It's part of what we signed up for, right? Jesus didn't promise us a trouble-free life. He didn't promise us a sickness-free life. He didn't promise us an economic problem-free life either. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Having trouble is part of the job description of a Christian. Having trouble is part of the expectation of a Christian. Though I walk in trouble, though I walk in the midst of trouble, says David, you preserve my life. David's experience is that God has preserved his life in times of extreme danger when lots of people have been trying to get him and kill him. In remarkable ways, David has seen God preserve his life, and he expects that God will preserve his life going forward. Of course, this isn't a promise of, like, you know, nobody ever dying. People do die, and that is one thing that this coronavirus has reminded us of, that we're all mortal, we will all die, right? Somebody I know, Norman Wells, who was director of the Family Education Trust, died a week before Easter, leaving behind 9 children aged between about 10 and 28. I didn't know him very well, but I had several meetings, which he was in the meeting, and I had some private conversations with him. And that was a sad day when I heard that. Just recently as well, my aunt died, not relating to coronavirus. She collapsed and died of a heart attack. And this reminds us that, you know, we're all going to die. One day we're all going to die. The question is not whether we're going to die, it's when we're going to die. Because I've got a fatal disease. I've got a terminal disease in me. It's called sin, right? And one day it'll kill me. So in that sense, there's no difference between me and, let's say, my wife, who's got stage 4 cancer and diabetes. They might kill her. They won't be cured by science as we know it today, right? Something will kill her and something will kill me, right? Having the cancer just reminds you of your mortality, and coronavirus just reminds us of our mortality as well. But God is in control of that. You just need to look in the very next Psalm, Psalm 139 and verse 16, talks about God and says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, God has determined our days, right? No cancer, no sickness, no virus, no plague, no disease. Nothing else has determined your days. In fact, in Job chapter 14, Job says, our days are determined, right? And Dula read that verse, or was reminded of that verse, and was encouraged, because he was like, actually, it's not the doctor that determines my days. It's not the consultant who determines how long I'm going to live. It's not the cancer even that will determine how long I'm going to live. It's God who will determine how long I'm going to live. It's up to him. No one else is going to choose it. It's God who's going to choose it. I'm not going to die until God lets me or wants me to die. I'm not going to die until I've finished the race that he wants to complete for me. And that's what David is appealing to here. You preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. He has seen God deliver him out of troubles. He's reminding himself of that in the past. That enables him to face the troubles in the future. And then we get verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purposes for me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. This is an amazing verse, right? David knows that God has a purpose for him as an individual, not just for the nation, not just for the Jews, not just for the church, for him as an individual. The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose in you. Did you know nothing can stop the purpose of God in your life? No coronavirus, no plague, no pestilence, no cancer, no diabetes, no bereavement, no economic crisis, no loss of job, no loss of reputation, no loss of anything. Not even any demon can stop God's purposes being fulfilled in your life. Nothing can. There is an exception, actually. You can. You can rebel against God's purpose for your life. But if you're trying to follow God's life, if you're trying to follow God's purpose, nothing else can stop God's purpose being fulfilled in you. And part of God's purpose for you and me is to live in this time of coronavirus and the troubles that will probably follow it as well. Part of God's purpose, that's part of God's purpose for you. Do you know, I don't choose what my life is. I've surrendered my life to God. I have to keep surrendering. We have to keep reminding myself of that, but I've surrendered, right? So God can choose to give me health. He can choose to give me sickness. It's up to him. It's not my life. I've surrendered to him. He can choose to give me wealth. He can choose to give me poverty. It's up to him. I've surrendered. He can choose to give me popularity and friends. He can choose to make me unpopular and have enemies. It's his life. He can choose to give me freedom. He can choose to put me in prison. I've surrendered. My job is to glorify him no matter what. My job is to glorify him when it's going well and when it's not going well. When things are working out perfectly and when things are not working out. I need to glorify him because the Lord will fulfill his purposes for me, providing I am trying to do that. The Lord will fulfill them. Nothing can stop that. And David reminds himself, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. And he prays, do not forsake the work of your hands. He's just praying in line with what he knows God will do. God will never forsake the work of his hands. He's praying in line with what he knows God will do there. God, glorify yourself. God, be merciful. Well, God will be, but it's worth us praying in line with that as well. So I just want to conclude with those 3 points, how to find strength in times of trouble. First of all, praise God in spite of the trouble. Secondly, pray for divine perspective on the trouble. And thirdly, stand firm on the promises of God in the trouble. The Lord will fulfill his purposes in you. Amen. Be blessed, folks. I look forward to seeing you again soon.